It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Wednesday, February 9th, 2011. I'm John Moe. Two-thirds of all internet searches in the U.S. happen on Google. That's according to a report released Tuesday. But are those searches returning valuable results or junk? Vivek Wadhwa is a tech thinker and academic affiliated with Harvard Law School, UC Berkeley, and Duke. He's come to a rather grim conclusion about Google.
It's like a toxic waste dump. It's just filled with spam. This is what started my quest was when my students started showing me the problems they're having doing simple searches, trying to find out what a particular executive does, why what their work history was, and so on. And the first sites that were always coming up were spam sites. They were trying to sell email addresses or sell other listings, or there were other misleading sites. It came to the point that the students found that their productivity was much lower because of all this garbage that was coming up. And it became very difficult for us to do our simple searches.
Spammers want to show up high in those search results because they can make a ton of money if they lure you to their sites. Google wants to keep the spammers out because if your results are terrible, you'll search elsewhere. So it's war. Matt Cutts is head of Google's web spam team.
I wouldn't say we're losing the war. Actually, spam from the last 5 years is down by about 50% of what it used to be.
In search results, you mean?
Yes. So search quality overall over the last few years is much better, and spam compared to 5 years ago is about half of what it used to be. Now, to be fair, spam in the last few months has grown a little bit, and that's mainly because we increased the size of our index, and we also made Google faster. But we're going to drill down and really pay a lot of attention to spam in the coming months.
How do those spam results, how do those sites get so high in the results in the first place? What kind of search engine optimization are they running there?
There's all sorts of tricks that people will do, and a lot of it can often turn out to be social engineering. So if you have a web blog, a blog, for example, people might leave a comment and say, "That was a fantastic post. I really loved it. Why don't you check out my site?" And they'll drop a link to their site. And because people think it's a personalized comment, they leave that and let people see that, and then people can get the traffic or the page rank or the links because of that. So it turns out a lot of it is, in many cases, tricking people so that they will visit your site or they'll link to your site when it's not such a great result.
One of the biggest producers of spam sites is Demand Media. It makes tons of sites, each with tons of articles, the sole purpose of which is to show up high in search results. Again, Vivek Wadhwa.
When you have companies making millions of dollars or hundreds of millions of dollars like Demand Media does, they're polluting the web and creating a spam problem. Let's blacklist them. Now, Google will have to forsake some revenue here in the interest of keeping the web clean, but that's what needs to be done right now.
Is there a certain amount that we're just going to have to deal with? I mean, I don't pay anything to use Google, and I get this vast knowledge of indexed information brought to me within fractions of seconds. I mean, shouldn't I put up with a little bit of spam from time to time?
A little bit is fine, and that's the way it was 2 or 3 years ago. But now, at the rate at which new spam is being created, if this continues, 3 or 4 years from now, the web will become unusable because there'll be billions of pages which are just garbage sites. There'll be so much clutter that you won't be able to find the good sites.
So what does Vivek use to search? Lots of different sites, including Google.
What choice do I have, John? I'm like everyone else.
More of my talk with Vivek, including what other search engines besides Google do to combat web spam, that's at marketplacetech.org. Other stories we're following at our website. The amount of malware on smartphones is going up dramatically. Security firm McAfee says there was 46% more malware on smartphones in 2010 compared to 2009. They also said email spam was decreasing, so that's nice at least. And Kindle books will soon have page numbers, satisfying a longtime wish of Kindle owners. Amazon will also add some social sharing features to the device. Producer Larissa Anderson is here with a tech story from our "Oh, Internet, what hath you wrought?" file.
A new online dating company is rubbing elbows with your Facebook friends. It's called Heart Broker.
Well, always good to put heart and broke in the name of your dating site.
Here's how it works. When you sign up, you pick Facebook friends to evaluate you on attractiveness, intellect, humor, kindness, and outgoingness.
Wow. Better pick the right Facebook friends.
Right. Because what your friends say about you is presented to potential dates. You can see it too, but you won't know who said what.
So in the process of getting a date,
you get to find out what your friends really think about you.
Oh, Internet, what hath you wrought? This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.